Online shopping is easy and convenient, and the Gun Dealio smartphone app makes it inexpensive, too. Deals on guns, ammunition, holsters, optics, lasers, and more, available day and night. Load the Gun Dealio Apple or Android app today at GunDealio.com.
Tom Gresham at 866 Talk Gun will get you in here, or actually it's easier to remember it. Just dial Tom, that's me, Tom Talk Gun. That works as well. It's Gun Talk. If you'd like to know some of the other things we're doing, we're putting out videos all the time. Follow us over on Facebook. Just look for Gun Talk or Gun Talk Media. On Twitter, I am at Gun Talk. And, of course, you can look at our videos, gosh, anywhere that you could stream videos almost. Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, it just goes on and on. Pretty much anywhere you can get videos, you can find Gun Talk. Hey, I do want to grab Dave. We held him over out of Carson City, Nevada, because he's got a TV thing for us here. Dave, what were you watching?
Well, it was Jimmy Stewart, the man from Laramie, a 1955 cowboy movie. And in their little deal at the bottom, they say what kind of a movie it is and what they're selling. And your thing about lever actions really hit me.
Okay.
And they had described the firearms used in there as automatic rifles. And I actually never saw the movie before, so I watched it. And there's no automatic. They're all Winchester lever actions. And so that's all I had.
Well, of course, Jimmy Stewart also starred in Winchester 73, which is a movie about a lever action. But you got to remember, to a lot of folks, Glocks are automatics. Lever actions are automatics. Bolt actions are automatics. Flintlocks are automatics.
Well,
they don't know the difference.
Right. It's just growing up with firearms my entire life, and you see something that flagrant, and automatics, I figure that's a continuous press of the trigger, and you get multiple rounds.
Until you run out of ammo, yeah. That's actually what automatic means, of course. Well, look, I appreciate that, but yeah, it's one of those deals you're going, really? And is there any wonder that the general public is confused or actually thinks that, yes, all of these guns are automatic because that's what I've been told. They're all machine guns. All these bans on so-called assault weapons are all about machine guns. I'll guarantee you, ask somebody you know who's not into guns about what are these so-called assault weapons, and they will say they're machine guns. About half the people you ask will say that. That's how pervasive the misinformation is. So there you go. Somebody who's actually working to stamp out the misinformation, to correct a lot of that, joins us right now, Diana Muller from the DC Project. Hello, Ms. Muller. How you doing?
How are you guys?
I'm good. Now, you had a full career as a police officer, and now you are, I don't know, a social media champion, a social warrior, doing all sorts of crazy stuff out there, helping with people learning how to shoot, helping people, you know, go to Congress and talk to their elected officials. You just don't take a rest, do you? You never back down.
Well, you know, there's a lot of work to do, and I guess the older you get, the more you realize that you're in charge of the world, and that you need to do something to preserve, you know, how we've grown up. So it hasn't been since the past 5 years or so that I've really started paying attention to politics and understanding that we have allowed these people to change our Constitution, basically. And I mean, they're on the precipice of, you know, changing the filibuster so they can change the PAC to Supreme Court.
Exactly. And you made waves when you were testifying for Congress. Was it just last year where you said, I will not comply?
Yeah, that was September of 19, and they were talking about an assault weapons ban, and according to Heller, I felt like that was an unconstitutional deal, and, you know, it was a big deal having a police officer on the panel say that they would not comply with unconstitutional laws. So, yeah, that caused some waves, but the D.C. Project has been around going to Washington, D.C. for the past 5 years, and just this past 2020, we pushed out to the state level, so now we've kind of opened our doors to the masses, and we're pushing the, you know, we would go to Washington, D.C. on a national level, but now I've asked those women to go back to their state and do the same thing within their state, go to the state capitol, meet their legislators, wear their educate, not legislate t-shirts, to the grocery store, to hearings. We've got a Teal for 2A campaign that Yeah, basically, if your audience knows who Moms Demand Action is and their red shirts and their ways, they have a $36 million budget. That was in 2019. I think they had a $60 million budget in the election cycle last year.
Wow.
But we're trying to mimic what they do. Since they have the big budget, we're trying to just watch what they do and counterplay it as best as we can. So they have red. They show up in hearings. They show up at rallies. They're very visible. They're very vocal. I think we're a lot more respectful than they are. I think we're a lot more educated than they are. But we have the teal for 2A.
Now, I know the DC Project was originally. Is it still just women going?
For the most part, we have men that join our ranks, and honestly, this is grassroots, so we don't have, it's not like we're a well-oiled machine like they are. We don't have a whole lot of things to do, but I envision if we continue to grow like we are that we'll have men amongst our ranks. But honestly, the way feminism is, the way our country has turned towards minorities and basically excommunicated the white male, it's really, I think, most beneficial for our side to have a counter visual and a counter voice.
Well,
that's why we lean heavily. That's why we lean heavily on the women to speak to basically counter the Moms Demand Action cries for doing something.
Well, that's smart marketing, and you know, and piggybacking on that, you are actually helping people learn how to market themselves and to be more effective, aren't you?
I am. My husband and I started the Ambassador Academy a couple, 3 years ago. This is our third year. And basically, we talk about how to use your social media, how to use, oh my gosh, there's so many. It's like drinking from a fire hose. But it started with professional shooters, but you know, you need to know how to, anybody in the gun community.
How to be interviewed.
Yes, anybody needs to know how to talk to Tom Gresham. Anybody needs to know how to talk to somebody from their friends, their family, or their community. So we rely heavily on how to talk about firearms, how to talk about the Second Amendment, things like that.
That is terrific, and it's so important. And it's like, honestly, I'm just going to say this. There are times when we've been at the legislature, and you know, some of us getting up there and speaking to the committee, and somebody gets up on our side, we're thinking, no, please, no. You're not good at this. You don't know how to do this. It's like,
right.
You know, you showed up with a baseball bat on a football field, and you're wondering, you know, why you're losing because you don't know what the rules are.
Right. Right.
So, you know,
it's really important.
It is. Training is important. So what is this latest thing you're doing with Jerry?
So the DC Project, like I said, Moms Demand, has $1 million budget per year, and we're fundraising, and Jerry Michalik, who is our, nobody knows, he is our Michael Jordan of the shooting sports. Everybody who knows anything about the shooting sports knows who Jerry Michalik is. And he has, for the past 3 years, given himself to auction off for a partner in this team match that we do. Every year we've done a two-man team match, and we're running a raffle right now. Everybody can find it at dcproject.info/Jerry, and we draw for a winner on May 1st. So we're kind of up on a deadline right now. We've only got a little over a week left. Yeah. So, you're going to get a shotgun from Mossberg. You're going to get a day of training with Jerry Michalik.
Oh, my.
And you're going to get to shoot the match. If you can't shoot the match, you can come and caddy for him. If you can't make it to the match at all, then you still got a shotgun signed by the greatest shooter in the world.
Holy cow. As if there's anybody who doesn't know, but Jerry Michalik is just unbelievable. It doesn't really matter if it's, I mean, everybody knows him for revolvers, but he shoots everything well, and he shoots everything fast, and he's super accurate. This is like saying, I'm going to go play 12 or 18 holes with Tiger, or, you know, I'm going to go play a game of horse with Michael Jordan, or, I mean, it's like, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, right. And I want to tell your audience, too, that tomorrow, actually, there's a group of 10 of us women going to Washington, D.C. Since it's shut down, we have truncated our trip, and we have 10 women going, and we're actually presenting to some pretty high-profile groups, some caucuses, and some committees. And so I'm really excited about that. If we can pray about that, that's fine. You know, if you can send money, that's fine, too. Yeah, this is a big deal for, especially right now with everything that's going on, that these legislators need to know that there are people out there that can counter the pressure they're getting. It's like a pressure cooker. You know, we're going to relieve a little bit of that pressure.
Right. And is the best place to find out about this is DC Project?
You know, we'll probably do track it on social media, our activities this week. I've really been heads down on, you know, making meetings and scheduling and things like that. But, yeah, you'll see us all over social media in D.C. this week and trying to do the best that we can to spread the gospel.
Well, it's terrific, and I'm particularly interested in what you're doing in the states. If somebody says, hey, we need this in our state, how do they get involved in that? What can they do?
Just go to dcproject.info/join, I think it is. But peruse the website, and there's a join button, and then we connect you to the state director, and you get plugged in that way.
That is terrific. I would just encourage anybody to do that. dcproject.info, dcproject.info. Diana, thank you so much for what you're doing. You are really making a difference.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Tom. You are too. You're doing great work.
Well, I appreciate it. And we'll see you at the next event, wherever that one happens to be.
Okay.
All right. Take care. All right. 866-TALK-GUN. I love this idea. Let me just tell you, Women for Gun Rights is a strong idea. And it bends their perception. It bends the stereotype. And frankly, it can be particularly effective. If you're a woman, here's a question for you. Would you be interested in getting involved in that? Give me a call. Let me know what you think about that. 866-TALK-GUN.
Introducing the all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Our versatile line of battle-ready configurations designed for serious shooters and built on the rock-solid Saint platform for unwavering reliability. Available in carbine-length rifle, SBR, and pistol configurations, each Saint Victor is purpose-built and loaded with features to deliver ultimate performance under extreme conditions. The all-new Saint Victor from Springfield Armory. Never a victim. Always the victor.
Visit guntalk.com/win to enter the Maxed Out giveaway. One grand prize winner receives the new Ruger Max 9 micro-sized striker-fired red dot ready 9mm pistol offering 12+1 capacity, plus a $250 gift certificate to Crossbreed Holsters. Three first prize winners receive a Crossbreed Holsters gift certificate for $250 to use on holsters, belts, and accessories. Enter now through April 30th at guntalk.com/win.
Celebrating 75 years of innovation wasn't enough for Timney Triggers. Timney decided to go big and introduce a game-changing Alpha Competition Series trigger for handguns, a first for the company. Currently available for Glock Gen 3s, 4s, and 5s, these new triggers offer a 3-pound trigger weight and crisp trigger break designed to keep you on target. And like all Timney triggers, are easy to install and come with a lifetime warranty. Find out more at timneytriggers.com.
Think about a previous caller watching a Jimmy Stewart movie with a lever action, and the description of it says something about automatic weapons. Funny. Do you have favorite movies, gun movies? I know there's some people who like almost collect gun movies, and I was thinking about that. Thinking, you know, you got the obvious ones, but maybe you've got some others. I mean, Winchester 73. If you've not seen it, it's really good, and the rifle figures prominently in it. But really, the only other movie I can think of that, well, no, maybe. There was an old one called Carbine Williams about the man who invented the 30 caliber carbine. Carbine Williams, carbine. Then, of course, I mean, all right, so everybody's got to think of Quiggy, right? Quiggy Down Under. It's like I say, it's the my favorite movie starring a gun. Tom Selleck was in it, but, you know, there's the rifle. Come on. It's the rifle. And what they did with it was just so much fun. But I hear other people talk about gun handling in movies. Do you think it's gotten better? I kind of think it has. I think some of the stars actually go get training on their own because they want to look competent. They don't want to be embarrassed. And yet, what was I just watching? Oh, I'll try to remember. Some show. And every time the cop pulls out his gun, I think he had, I don't remember what it was, but single action, double action. This is, go back to that. He would cock the hammer on it rather than pull the gun out and just use it double action like it's designed to be. And I know what it is. It's the director saying, you know, we got to have this business. That's the term. We got to have a business going on here. So we got to cock the hammer, make the cool sound. It's kind of like when they, what was the movie? Oh, the FBI? No, The Fugitive. And every time the FBI agent pulled out his gun, he racked the slide. It's like, why are you running around with a gun with an empty chamber? Just nutty stuff. There you go. Hey, line five, Paul's with us out of Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Hey, Paul, you're on Gun Talk. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, somebody that I'm talking to at the moment has said several times in the past that just because you know how to shoot doesn't mean you know how to write a book about shooting. I'll stipulate that just because you know how to shoot doesn't mean you know how to make a video about shooting.
Oh?
I've seen some pretty bad examples, and I think you may have also.
You mean like internet videos or what?
Roger that. I get really irritated when I start a video and they start an intro with some background music and pictures of the main guy shooting guns, and it goes on for a minute and sometimes a minute or more. You know, after 15-second intro is probably about right, but certainly 20 seconds into the video, mm-hmm. I should know what we're about to hear, not watch a guy with the same intro I've seen on every other one of his clips.
Well, as you probably know, I have created and directed and produced television series in the past.
Yes.
In the old days, think back, if you were to watch a show from 30 or 40 years ago, they would have this long intro, Little House on the Prairie, Bonanza, whatever it was. It went on and on and on and on and on. You get to the show. Turn on a show today, a TV show. It's going to start with the action. The storyline is going to start from the time the show starts. There is no intro on most shows. And then they may get to the intro a minute or two or three into it. But they're going to start to get you hooked immediately. We have this very much reduced attention span these days. And I don't know if it's the devices we carry around or what it is, but we just don't have any attention span anymore.
Well, I'd put it, whoever puts something together should be efficient with our time.
It's a good way to put it. They should respect your time.
Well, I'm not listening to music and expecting to be entertained by the intro. I want to know what we're about to do.
Content.
And then let's get on to it.
You're looking for content. Yeah. It's like, okay. And the other thing that happens, and this is especially true, think about this with YouTube. If you find somebody's series and you really like the series, you like what these people do, and they've got a 30-second intro every time, after about the fourth or fifth time you've clicked on the video, you're going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm having to sit through this thing again. Just, you know, get on with it. 5 or 10 seconds max, and let's get into it here.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm with you. I agree with that.
Yeah.
No,
if somebody's going to put together a video, give me actual information. Don't keep repeating that I just bought this gun, I really like it, and it's really neat. Think of something you can tell me that maybe I don't know that is useful information.
And case in point, shorter is better. You know, if you did a 20-minute video, I'll bet you can do it better in 7 minutes, and it will be more interesting, and you'll actually get more material in and get rid of the junk in there where you're, I call it clearing your throat, where you're just talking just to hear yourself talk. It's, yeah, I've helped a lot of people produce videos and TV shows through the years. There is a skill set to that like everything else, and you know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you're old enough to remember when computers came along and we got desktop publishing. You could set your own type. You know, it used to be that you'd have to go to a typesetting house and you have professionals who would do that and make it look good. And then all of a sudden people could set their own type. So they would use 47 different typefaces or fonts on one page just because they could. It looked awful, but they had the ability. Now everybody has the ability to make their own videos. Doesn't require any skill. You don't have to be good at it, but you can do it. And we, I don't know, what are there, a billion new videos uploaded every day online? And a lot of them are just bad. Because, you know, one of those deals. Anybody can do it now. So there you are. I appreciate the call, sir. Let's go talk to Pat in San Antonio, Texas on one. Hey, Pat, I got a minute or so here. What you got?
Hey, Tom. I placed an order with Brownells back in February the 2nd for the new Delta Point Micro.
Mm-hmm.
And I had even contacted Leupold ahead of time to find out when to expect them in stores. And they emailed me back and said, early February.
Right.
So I went ahead and placed my order. Can you get a hold of anybody there to find out what's happened? I mean, they sent them out to all the reviewers and everybody, and I've seen all the reviews, but I don't know why they would do that back in January and not have anything in the stores yet.
I can tell you from experience, from history, I've seen it happen a number of times. They send everything out to the reviewers, and they go, we're ready to go. And then they go, oh, my gosh, our supplier from China, Taiwan, you know, Indonesia, wherever it was, can't make that part for us. And now we're sitting here, and they're sitting there screaming internally going, we told people these were going to be out, and now we can't get our parts. We can't produce them. So Leupold is irritated at it. Brownells is irritated at it because they've got your order in, and they can't. Cause trust me, nobody makes any money if they can't get it to you. You know, you haven't been charged for it, right?
No, not until the order's filled. They don't run
exactly.
Your car.
Yeah. It's not that nobody wants to get this to you. It's just something has gone on internally, probably more than likely with a supplier, and all of a sudden they can't get what they need to make them. And of course, everything goes back to, well, it's COVID. Well, a lot of times it actually is. Sometimes I think that's a convenient excuse. In this case, I don't know what's going on, but actually there's no point in me trying to find out loophole because they're going to tell me, we don't have them yet. We don't know when we will. Kind of the way it goes. All right, give me an update. I mentioned earlier that breaking news out of Austin, Texas, that shooting, they call it an active shooter. Now, Austin police are saying that three are dead. They have ID'd the shooter. They do not have him in custody. 41-year-old Stephen Nicholas Broderick, a former sheriff's department deputy, or detective, rather. This is going to get ugly. It's not going to be good. Anyway, they have figured out who did this, and they're looking for him now. So that's what's going on in Austin, Texas. Our number here is 866-TALK-GUN. We're open lines. If it's a gun you want to talk about, or buying a gun, selling a gun, or training. Right now, we're kind of talking about movies and movies that have guns in them, and those that have had impact on us in one form or another. We'll get to that in a second. First, George has called us on 5 from OC Shooters. Hey, George, what's going on up there in New York?
Well, two things. I'll talk about the movie second, or TV show second. But, yeah, we're up to 6 months just waiting to get fingerprinted to apply for a pistol license here, so it's ridiculous. And then you got, even after you get your fingerprints, you probably have another 4 to maybe 6 months before you can get your license. So that's New York State for you.
And you need to get the license. Let me make sure. You need to get the license before you can buy a gun?
Oh, no. You need to get a license before you touch a gun. When you go into the gun store to buy your gun, you're not allowed to touch it unless you actually have a license. So a lot of people end up getting a license and then buying a gun.
So, I mean, you're not kidding. You mean you literally cannot touch the gun without a license?
Right. If I give a class and I want to hand a gun to a student and they don't have a license, just so they can see how heavy it is, that's a felony. So,
good grief.
That's New York State for you. They're not infringing upon anybody's rights.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. So tell me about this TV show.
Oh, okay. I was watching Hill Street Blues, and it was sort of surprising to me. Danny Reagan, the older brother, who's a detective, was shooting at the range with Jamie Reagan, who's the younger brother and regular beat.
This is Blue Bloods, not Hill Street Blues.
Blue Bloods. Oh, I'm sorry. Blue Bloods. Yeah, you're right. So anyway, so Jamie, the younger guy, is shooting his backup revolver. So every time he would shoot his backup revolver, you could hear the ejected rounds hitting the concrete. So it's bang, click, bang, tinkle, bang.
Right, tinkle. Because somebody decided they would put that little bit of business in there, that little bit of audio, the Foley artist or whatever they call it. You know, it's like you're going, and they don't understand, George, that for those of us who know, because they think, oh, it's not a big deal, who cares? It's like showing a scene where a truck drives by, but the audio is of an airplane flying by.
Right.
It's nutty.
And I was surprised because I think Blue Bloods is normally fairly accurate, or as accurate as most of them are. So,
guess who
anyway,
they heard?
You know what?
Guess who they heard from about that? I'll bet you, Tom
who?
Selleck.
Okay.
Because Tom Selleck is a serious gun guy. And of course, he had nothing to do with the editing of it or any of that. But I'm guessing when he saw that, he probably went to the director and said, really? And I know that he actually almost got in trouble one time because he yelled at somebody on the set about safe gun handling.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm spending a lot of time watching Lone Ranger and some of the those other Annie Oakley and some of those older TV shows, and a lot of them are fairly decent, except for the fact Annie Oakley actually only has 5 or 6 rounds in her revolver. Everybody else has 20 or 30. So
I love it. Thanks, George. Hey, Dave, don't go anywhere. A quick break here. I want to come back and we'll get Dave from Springfield on here. 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here. I'm Tom Gresham. Be right back with more Gun Talk.
Ruger's 10/22 rifle line offers a variety of models and features for whatever you need your next 22 to do. From target, takedown, or tactical, to competition, carbine, or compact, the 10/22 action is a tried and true Ruger design, delivering consistent, reliable performance. With its classic styling and ease of use, the Ruger 10/22 is America's favorite rimfire rifle. Find the perfect 10/22 for you at Ruger.com.
Your gun rights are under attack as never before. Joe Biden's administration has promised to rip away your constitutional rights, making good on the promises they made to the gun ban lobby. It's time to get off the sidelines and get in the fight. The Second Amendment Foundation's actions in dozens of landmark lawsuits have pushed back these gun grabs, but we need your help. Join and support the Second Amendment Foundation. Go to saf.org. That's saf.org.
This is Marty Hayes, president of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Do you have self-defense insurance or belong to an organization backed by an insurance company? If so, understand insurance companies do not have your best interests at heart. They work for themselves. We are different. Instead of insurance, we have our own legal defense fund of close to $3 million, money set aside for your defense. To learn more, go to armedcitizensnetwork.org. That's armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Oh, you gotta love guns and movies. John Wick, of course. Keanu Reeves got a lot of training for that. Got some really good gun handling. I mean, it's cartoonish. It's silly. It's like they're just running up the body count. It's kind of goofy. I watched one of them the other day. I'm thinking, really? That's what this is all about? But the gun handling was good in it. Let's go talk with Dave on one out of Springfield, Missouri. Dave, thanks for your patience. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, I think that two movies really made guns superstars. And the first was the James Bonds with the Walther PPK.
Sure.
Everybody had one. And, of course, Dirty Harry with a big .44 Magnum. And later on, he used a auto mag. And everybody was buying those.
Yes, he did. And, of course, the auto mag was in .44 mag as well.
.44 mag.
Yep, exactly.
Like
but, yeah, you're right.
Magnum.
The .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world at the time.
At the time. Everybody bought one, and you couldn't find them at all. It was like that. But pretty soon they started showing up in used gun stores with three-round shot.
Yes, exactly right. You got a box of 50, and there's 47 rounds in there.
Yeah, 47 rounds left. those are two that come to mind. Of course, the Winchester movie was really good. But
it was. It was a good movie. Sure
but
was.
Everybody was you're old enough to remember back when everybody won the most powerful handgun, you know, Smith & Wesson 44.
It was
kind of comical in a way.
Yes.
And finally people learned that, well, you put a 44 special in there and you got a pretty good round.
Now you got a sweet shooting gun.
It's real light.
Yeah. If you have a 44 Magnum and you don't like shooting it, just get you some 44 special ammo, or even take up hand loading and make lighter loads. It just becomes a whole lot more fun.
But when you put those 44 Magnums through there and you aren't a gun expert, it's a shocker.
Well, you know, and I've shot a ton of guns, and it doesn't take me long to say that's enough on shooting 44 Magnums. And forget 454 Casules, and I do have a 500 Smith & Wesson. I do have 460 and all of that. But there comes a time when you're thinking, you know, that was great and fun and all that, but I don't need to beat myself up that much anymore.
Hey, well, I think a 44 Magnum will do the job, and you can learn to shoot one.
Yep, exactly. All right. Appreciate the call, sir. Let me scoot down to Mark in Grand Rapids, Michigan on 4. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind, sir?
Yes, good afternoon, Tom.
Uh-huh.
A couple of weeks ago, I received, this is over the Senate, a letter in the snail mail from U.S. Senator Rand Paul. At least he's gotten his name used by. And what it's about is the National Association for Gun Rights. You know, he claims that, you know, read this. You know, he included a letter from Dudley Smith, Dudley Brown, president of the National Association for Gun Rights. Mm-hmm. And what it's all about is the UN, the Small Arms Treaty,
right,
which, you know, the letter seems to claim that not the Biden administration and, you know, a largely Democratic Congress are set to ram through U.S. approval of the U.N. Small Arms Treaty, which, with all its, you know, all nasty provisions. Of course, the letter asks for, you know, take a survey, but also send in a check of $100, $50, whatever you can, so that the National Association for Gun Rights can mount a major effort, you know, to oppose any possible ratification of, you know, the U.S. ratification of the, you know, U.N. Arms Treaty.
So let me ask you, what do you think of that?
Well, I like Rand Paul. I don't think he would let himself be used. I don't think he's a rhino or anything like that. I think he's serious about his defense of the Second Amendment. So, you know, that would seem to be the biggest, you know, I mean, when you want to talk about an end game, if this were ever to be approved, my impression or my information is that if the U.S. approves this type of treaty, you can kiss the Second Amendment goodbye.
Okay, let me give you, I'm going to give you my take on this. I'm not going to pull any punches, okay? Rand Paul got conned by Dudley Brown. I think Dudley Brown's group has never done anything for gun rights and never will do anything for gun rights. I think what they do is they use gun rights as a way to make money. I think it is strictly that. I don't think of them as a gun rights organization at all in any form or fashion. I wouldn't send them a dime if they were stuck anywhere. This is a group that I have absolutely zero respect for. Don't think that they do any good at all other than helping their bank accounts. I am surprised that Rand Paul has gotten pulled into this thing. And just, it's upsetting because, and I'll just tell you, to the last person, everybody I know who I respect through 50 years of working in the gun rights movement has the exact same opinion, at least as far as I'm aware, of Dudley Brown and the National Association for Gun Rights. Not a group I would give money to, not a group I would respect, not a group I would believe anything they said. Have I made my position fairly clear on that, sir?
That is exactly why I wanted to, you know, have you, you know, take 60 seconds on Gun Talk to have every one of your listeners hear, you know, what you just said, so that we all know the true story about good old Dudley.
That's my position. That's my thoughts on it. I just have never seen anything that they have accomplished or done other than making money by, infuriating people, and they're really good with their fundraising. I give them credit for that. They're really good at stirring people up and making them mad and making them, you know, I'm going to do this, and the UN's coming. No, they're not. No. There's really no. I appreciate you bringing that up. I actually have people every week say, what do you think about these guys? Because they're renting lists, and they're sending these things out, and they're really firing up gun owners and saying, you know, we're the ones who can do this. No, they're not. They're not doing anything. Nothing that I can find. On three, line three, John's with us out of Republic, Missouri. What's on going on here, John?
Okay, I got a reloading question for you, sir.
Sure.
I have reloading supplies that I use yearly for my rifle and so on, and I was digging around in another area and come across a box I had forgot about. Mm-hmm. A steel ammo storage box, opened it up, and I've got maybe 4,000 primers and 10 pounds of powder I forgot about that I hadn't needed or used.
Right.
The primers were old enough, they were $17 a thousand.
Oh, gosh.
Something in that range.
Uh-huh.
How old can they be and still be good?
How old are they?
20 years or more.
Primers are probably fine. Powder, how warm has it been where they've been stored?
House temperatures.
Oh, that's not bad. No, that's fine then.
Okay.
It's probably okay. The only thing is with powders, here's what you do. You open up the can and you literally smell the powder. If it smells funky, I mean, you know what loading powder smells like. When you open it up, it always has that same kind of smell.
Right.
If it smells really weird or something, or it looks odd, then don't
get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you literally can sprinkle it out on the yard, the lawn. People say, yeah, it's got nitrogen
right.
in it. It's like
toss
furniture.
A match in and stand back.
No. It's actually like fertilizer. Seriously, it's good. You could use it on the lawn or in the garden or something. It's got all that nitrogen in it. So just sprinkle it out and leave it alone. But it is, I will say, okay, I'm weird this way. It is, actually, it's fun to set fire to it, okay? And what you do, if you don't mind having a big old streak in your driveway, you can pour out a whole line of it and light one end of it and watch it go to the other end. It doesn't go real fast. It's not explosive or anything, unless it's black powder. Don't do that with black powder. But with smokeless powder, you can do that. But you will make a big old black smudge or something on your, gee, how would I know that when I was a kid? Oh, yeah, that. It's amazing that I live to be an adult, I swear. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, my brother taking an ice pick and a hammer to set off primers in the loading room. Unbelievable. Just the knuckleheaded stuff that boys do. Yeah, it really is amazing that boys actually make it to adulthood, isn't it? Just the nutty stuff we did. I wanted to burn some powder. Well, where can I put it on? What can I put it on to be safe? Oh, I need a piece of metal. Oh, there's my dad's handsaw. So I put a little pile of powder on my dad's handsaw on the blade and set fire to it. It took the temper out. Thing ended up looking like a boomerang, the saw blade. Yeah, I did not get away that one. Live and learn. There you go. 866-TALK-GUN. Do you have a movie where you think, I like the guns in that. Or, that was stupid. I can't believe they did that. Let us know. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. Be right back with more Gun Talk. All right, let's go straight to the phones. Line four, Harold's with us out of Oregon. Hey, Harold, what's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, your single double versus striker fire. I've always carried single double action for the last 30-some years. And they're harder to shoot, but they're so much safer, I think, to carry.
Well, certainly it's a lot easier to, I mean, it's a lot more difficult to stumble into the trigger when you got a 12-pound trigger pull versus a 3 or 4. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, well, like I had my concealed carry, I've been, well, all my life, but I've had the permit for the last 30-some years. For me, I take my pistol when I go to the post office, I park on the street, I got to take my pistol out of the holster, put it back in. I can do all that while I'm driving. It don't bother me because the trigger's pretty safe. On a Glock or something, I'd just be worried that my shirt tail or anything would get in the way.
What kind of pistol do you carry?
What's that?
What kind of pistol are you carrying?
I'm carrying the Rugers, either the P95 or the P9745.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, and look, I get it. Like, I didn't say they're not good. I just said I never learned to shoot them well.
Yeah, they're harder to shoot. I shoot a Glock better, more accurate and quicker than I can shoot my Rugers. No doubt about that. But I just, for what I do, I spend a lot of time in the mountains. And if I'm sleeping there and I got my pistol next to my head, it's nice having something like that where I don't have to worry about like a Glock or something like that. I get to do that.
You know, and you make a good point, and that's why they make them, and that's why they're popular. So there you go. I appreciate that, sir. I do want to grab Ken. I'll stay in Oregon, in Medford, Oregon, on 5. Hey, Ken, movies and guns.
Okay, best movie. El Dorado with John Wayne and James Caan.
Oh,
James
Caan
was being taught by John Wayne how to shoot, and John Wayne said, you can't shoot for beans. So he took him to a gunsmith and gave him a sawed-off, really short, 10-gauge double-barrel pistol.
Oh, I remember that. That was a fun... Didn't it have Dean Martin in that, too?
It had Dean Martin. No, that one had Robert Mitchum. And it had the old guy, the old buffalo hunter, that said the best place to be when James Mississippi was the character's name that had to... James Caan. He said the best place to be when he shot that thing was behind him. Because was quite a pistol.
Yep. And also, I think you like me, you like that old series, TV series, Wanted Dead or Alive with Steve McQueen.
Yep, with the Mars leg, because it was so popular that even now, Henry makes one, and I believe Rossi actually made a Mars leg.
That's right. A little bitty, basically it would be a lever action pistol and with almost no stock that you put on your shoulder and a little short barrel. And, you know, it's one of those deals. It looked cool. It does look cool today. It's like dumbest idea ever if you actually want to hit anything. But what the heck? If it makes you happy, I guess that's okay.
Yep. Works good with birdshot in it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those deals you think, well, if I've stuck a laser on it, maybe that wouldn't be quite so Western-looking, though.
Nope, that kind of ruined the whole idea.
Yeah, it would. All right, appreciate the call, sir. That's the... Yeah, movies and TV shows with guns. A lot of mistakes, but there's some cool stuff out there. And if you're older, you know, you like some of the Westerns. If you haven't visited some of those Westerns, you might want to try them. How the West Was Won, really good. Certainly Winchester 73 with Jimmy Stewart. Really fun. Starts off with a shooting contest. Pretty cool deal. I think you'd enjoy that as well. Tell you what, if you want to join us for the after show, now's the time to call 866-TALK-GUN. If you've missed the after show, shame on you. Wherever you get your podcast, you can hear the after show. We add that in after the regular broadcast show. In the meantime, get out there and do a little shooting. Always carry. Get more training. And yeah, you still need to practice. Shoot a few rounds. Do a lot of dry firing. Ammo's hard to get. We get that. Check your six. Take care of your family. Be alert. Lock those doors. Don't leave your car unlocked. Don't leave your guns in your cars, okay? We're the responsible ones. Let's keep that up.